Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, this week we are continuing our Avatar Legends series, run by B. Zelda and played by Brandy, Miriam, and Gnome. You want to hear more of it? Because I certainly want you to. So, with all that out of the way, let's get to the show.
Now, Amara, this was the place that you called your home. You've traveled for 2 hours. It was really rough. Hiyori, your back and abs and maybe like skull have been rattled a little bit. But as the three of you stand outside of this palisade, I think in the distance, you can hear the marching of patrol soldiers. What would the three of you like to do?
Oh boy. Patrol soldiers. Okay. Well, I you know, I'm not wanted or anything because, you know, I didn't do anything. So what I would probably do is I'd dismount Dolly and give her a very hesitant pet of thank you for turning to the others and being like, I should go distract the guards so you can go in and I'll follow you.
Are there guards in your house?
I think they're mostly outside. Usually inside I just kind of live my life. So not usually.
And no punching walls?
No, probably not necessary. Doors aren't locked. I mean, because people come and go all day long. That's why there's the guards outside. So if I can, you know, keep them busy, then...
How many guards?
I think there's about two of them walking side by side, kind of marching in step.
I probably know them. I've probably known them my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know them. I know the stuff that they like. I can talk to them for a bit. And
I have a bad plan.
Oh boy.
Would it be easier if we had disguises so we didn't have to worry so much?
Good
plan. It's two of us.
I mean, yeah, if I could just tell them that you're my friends and you should probably hide what you really look like and that you're not firebenders.
My entire outfit is from the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I'm just a colorful rainbow.
Where did you want to get disguises from again?
Hiyori kind of like looks over to the two guards and then shifts his eyes.
Oh no. Oh. Amara. No. Oh no. Oh.
It would be great to get into the prison with.
They won't even fit you. What are you, like 10?
I'm 13.
They're like 6 feet tall.
We'll make it work.
Are you gonna grow?
Well, I could just wear the
and like
tunic.
The ground kind of like shifts and rumbles under.
Shut
him.
Up.
As he like has these like dirt stilts.
Do they move?
When he lifts his foot,
stop.
It just drags.
Stop.
So that when he puts his foot back down, it lands on like the little pillar.
That's amazing.
That is a bad idea.
Do you have a better one?
Yes, I did. Distracting them so you can walk in normally and then leave.
Jill looks slightly disappointed at the fact that we don't steal the clothes.
I feel like this is the moment where, like, if this were an episode, this dialogue would have happened, and then it would have cut to you two trying to take the outfits from the guards.
So I almost want to, like, roll for this.
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody is comfortable with that kind of a scene, because the guards are getting closer, they can see that there's people here, and it's their job to interrogate. It's their job to talk to everybody. And so that is exactly what they're going to do. And I think at this moment, let's just make it a trick feels right. Just to see how well this went. Trick is a role of creativity. So for the two of you who are going to wear the guards' outfits, Jal and Hiyori, give me a trick roll, please.
Oh no, it's creativity. Okay, 7.
Okay.
11.
Nice. Okay, so on a hit, they do fall for this. So what is the act where you grab them to be able to disrobe their outfits?
I mean, I feel like that Amara could still do the whole distracting thing.
Yeah.
But instead of distracting to let us through, it distracts for us to do the comedic, you know, sap, like, bonk on the head.
The bonk on the head. Like, it's literally just like a little sling that Hiyori has and whips over like a rock.
And mine's just a projectile, like a snowball. But it's not a snowball. It's just solid ice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we see, like, that little, the bonk moment where the two guards crumple to the ground. They are both 6'2", 6'3". They're unreasonably tall, even made so taller by their helmets that kind of extend upwards. The only downside, because, sorry, it was Hiyori that rolled the mixed success. Jal, the guard that you've kind of knocked out, their garb is pretty close to your shape. It's a little longer.
I roll the legs of the pants up.
Perfect. And there's no name tags. This guard was pretty new. Nobody really knew who they were. The place where, like, the nameplate would be is, like, blank, as if they're, like, a new employee, a new hire. But Hiyori...
What a bad day.
Truly.
First day on the job.
Bad first
horrible day.
Hiyori, you're wearing the outfit that you were about to put on. It's got a name tag of a... Oh, God, I've got my little... Joko. Joko is the head of the guard division in this part of the Fire Nation. Joko has a bunch of badges, regalia, on his outfit that make him incredibly identifiable, and you cannot remove any of it. It has been, like, embroidered and sewed in.
Mm. Oh god, it was the rookie door.
And here's the door, and here are some guests! Oh my god. Okay, what would you like to do?
Well, now we could just freely walk over to Amara's place.
Yeah, more or less.
We should probably put these two up against the bushes first.
That is a smart idea. Do you just, like, pull them behind some hedges?
Yeah, probably just drag them.
Okay.
Yeah.
The hedges in this part of the Fire Nation, they're pretty sparse. Picture, like, a sad bush that has some leaves, but it's pretty crunchy.
I could bury them a little bit and just let their heads be kept above if it fits better in the bush.
Oh, is it like sand? Is it like, what is it, you know, at the beach, the sand?
Yeah,
like when you bury somebody in the sand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to give that a shot? That'll be a focus roll.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Focus, I do okay. And just kidding. 5, 6, 7 plus, what did I put for focus? Plus 2 focus. So 7, 8, 9.
Okay, no, that is excellent. That is a mixed success nonetheless. Describe to me, what does it look like? You're bending as you're trying to submerge most of their bodies.
Yeah, so a lot of the monastery that Hiyori is from, he kind of, like, moves his arms and hands, palms facing down, around the dirt and around the ground as a way that to kind of, like, feel the difference between the air that's being pushed from the ground between his palms. And he just kind of, like, closes his fists together as if he's, like, pulling up, trying to, like, pick up pieces of sand, like fistfuls of sand. And as he's doing so, it just kind of starts creating this little rumbling as the earth starts to shift and eventually cover the two guards.
I love that. It is almost a perfect maneuver as your two brand new allies kind of watch you in action. The illusion of the perfection of it is a little bit shattered when some of the earth that has been risen goes into the mouths of the two guards.
Oh, no. I'm not that good at this yet.
But for the most part, they will absolutely live. They're just going to have a really bad headache and a mouth that is full of some crunchy dirt.
Oh, boy. I hope they're not mad at me for this later.
Amara, we're about to break out your aunt from prison. I think you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
But we won't get caught. That, right?
Yeah, we won't get caught. Hopefully no one will see us.
Yeah, so they can't get mad at me for that if they don't know that that was me.
All right, so like you said, Amara, this place is pretty open because they rely on the guards to kind of keep it protected. There is a gold-gilded gate that is mostly there for display, and the doors to the gate are open, so everybody can walk in, and I think maybe on the left is another set of gates that will take you to the palace proper, and then on the right, if you go down a couple more roads, it'll eventually take you to the city center on this part of the Fire Nation.
All right. Well, the plans that you guys wanted are probably in his office. I guess if we just walk carefully, quietly, naturally, we should be able to get in and out without problem.
I try to walk like a guard.
Oh,
that
God.
That is like, you know, like the military march.
You gotta walk in step.
Yeah. Continue.
Amara, can you give me a assess the situation? And this is a role of creativity because we kind of want to figure out, you know, the only way, like, you know how to get into your own house, but there might be some other dangers that are lurking.
I got a 9.
Heck yes. Okay. So with a 9, this is one of those moves where you get to ask one question. I will give you the options. What here can I use to blank? Who or what is the biggest threat here? What should I be on the lookout for? What is my best way in, out, or through? And then who or what is in the greatest danger here? So what question would you like to know the answer to?
What should I be on the lookout for?
You should be on the lookout, not just for the regular patrolling guards, which you probably have their schedule down packed. This is where you grew up in. The guard rotation has been pretty consistent. But you know, as the daughter of Governor Zoe, that every time there is a social incident, there are a few more citizens from the capital. And I'm trying to remember what the words for them would be. Is Inquisitor right, or is Inquisitor only a Star Wars thing?
It's not only a Star Wars thing.
And if it's not a real thing, then we will make it a real thing.
If it's not a real thing, then I have been using that word real wrong.
In this setting, I think Inquisitors are well-respected, high-society folks from the capital of the Fire Nation that get sent out to smaller, like, the outskirts of the nation itself to make sure all of the rules are being followed. It gives you, like, Earth Kingdom vibes from, like, the... What was it called, Miriam? The Boiling Rock?
The Boiling Rock was the Fire Nation prison for benders. The Dai Li? Intelligence. Basically, it's the king's,
Okay, that's kind of what I was going for. I knew this was pulled from something that was Avatar-based. So yeah, we'll call them the Fire Nation's Inquisitors. I think they all have monocles. That feels like it touches both on the Inquisitor and the villain and probably Fire Nation sides. So you know, Amara, that Inquisitors are more likely to lurk around in this area due to the destruction of that revered statue.
Oh boy. I'm gonna, you know, quietly, because Michelle is trying to make too much noise, convey that to my two compatriots, co-conspirators.
How do you want to enter? Just walk right in like you belong?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'd probably be second nature. It's not, you know, it's not intuitive for you to sneak around your house.
Not really.
Necessarily, so.
It feels weird to have to do something like that, you know?
Yeah, just walking in, me first, just in case. Because, you know, I do live there.
And two guards who are absolutely guards behind.
Totally.
It's probably not necessarily super uncommon for me to have an actual guard with me at some point for some things anyway, so.
Mm-mm.
Sure. And two, probably 5 foot or less in ill-fitting armor is not going to be noticeable.
I thought you're using your earth. Here is using the earth stilts.
I feel as like at like once we walk in, right? He's not touching dirt anymore.
Yeah.
So like that's as so soon funny. As they cross that threshold, he's got to just hop down off. So he just shrinks, and there's just like pant leg dragging.
Oh God.
Oof. Okay, we can work with this. So Amara lets you all kind of step into the entrance of this palisade. This is, you know, it's Fire Nation aesthetic. Everything is gold and red. We've got red carpets. The banisters are gilded with gold. There's statues kind of in the recesses of the walls. The floor is probably like that white marbled with like the speckled gold. It reeks of opulence. It reeks of status, which, you know, Jahl especially, that really does make you think about like, this is the governor of this entire area. Does he stand only for wealth? Because that is all you can interpret. Amara is going to lead you all towards the study. It is towards the back of the palace itself. There's a handful of hallways that you have to get down. And you can all hear the distant shufflings of housekeepers tidying, brooms being swept, the occasional clink of bronze being polished and clinking against each other. So there's a little bit of life around you. How do you want to go about this?
Yep, I was sort of going with Amara's lead as it is their house.
Yeah, same. Just you know, smiles, the usual smiles, usual airheadedness, just kind of walking. And if I see someone, I just give them the usual smile that I would usually give them and keep walking. And some of them I can get away with not even looking at because usually when they see me, I'm thinking or I'm in my head. So I don't think it would seem terribly out of the ordinary if I just kind of speed walked around my house.
I like that. Okay, this is something we're going to push your luck with this.
Yep.
Because you, Amara, yourself are not suspicious. You are who everybody's going to look at first. But if you're not commanding enough in this moment, everybody's eyes are going to glance at these two guards with very ill-fitting clothing.
Oh, boy. So which skill is this roll?
That is going to be a roll with passion, please.
Oh, 10.
Hey!
There's some great rolls.
Yeah, you are able to pass through a variety of hallways. There are some doors open. You got a couple of head nods from the staff, the occasional smile, but for the most part, nobody disturbs you. And even in the back of your head, there's a bit of a horror knowing that, like, Hiori is dressed up as the captain's guard, and not a single one of your staff kind of pinpointed that as unusual. So either you have a really good staff or a really bad staff, depending on your perspective. The three of you are able to make it to the end of this winding hallway, and there is a grand door made out of mahogany or something unreasonable. Inside, there's a plush carpet made of something, large-ass table, and sure enough, in the corner of that also mahogany table are some conveniently drawn out blueprints and maps of the local prison. What would you like to do?
Is this what you guys needed?
Yeah, I mean, we gotta find the right ones. Where do you think that they would keep your aunt?
Right.
Can I roll an action?
Yes, please.
Can I do like an assess the situation for this?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Like, are you assessing the blueprints?
Yeah, the blueprints.
Perfect.
Can I help by, I guess I just mark fatigue and give a plus one?
Mm-hmm. Tell me what that looks like.
I try to figure out which way is north.
It wasn't drawn on the map, so it's helpful. How did you do?
That. Not really bad. Really, really bad. That's a 5.
With the hell? Oh, it's still a fail.
It's still a massive fail.
I did not find north. Y'all have good rolls
today.
Mm-mm. Okay, Hiori. So this is going to be our first condition marked. You can either be angry, afraid, foolish, guilty, or insecure. What do you think applies most to how you're feeling in this moment, Hiyori?
Completely insecure. I mean, this is so... technically not breaking and entering, but planning to break and enter? They just knocked out guards? This is not normal behavior. And he's kind of just not there. Not fully there. He doesn't know how to read blueprints. He's 13 from a monastery.
I think this is up and it's not up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Can I, Amara, I really, really need you to save your friends in this moment.
Yes.
Will you give me a assess a situation?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, three.
Three?
It was a two, but I got the plus one, so it's a three.
Oh my god, I love this.
I got snake eyes.
Okay, same conditions. Are you feeling angry, afraid, foolish, guilty, or insecure because of this?
Probably guilty. I'm sneaking around my own house, trying to free my aunt who's in prison because of me. This is too much. This is a lot. This is all my knowledge and all my everything's been very theoretical until now.
It's so true.
This is a bit much. And also, like, this is so much more dramatic than it needs to be. Because it's kind of like the, like, foil character in a cartoon where, like, cartoon logic everybody else is on board with. But there's always one person who's like, that doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's very guilty.
Perfect. And mechanically, so the conditions kind of impose negative effects to your skill rolls. So when you're guilty, you get a minus two to push your luck and to defending and retreating. When you're insecure, you get a minus two to pleading and relying on your skills or training, which is bending. So if you both want to have those conditions resolved, then you need to have somebody roll comfort or support, which can be done however you see fit, but it'll be a role with harmony. Because sometimes just talking with your friends makes you feel better.
Can I try to kind of do that buck up buttercup?
Well, I almost want to know, so when Amara is looking at these blueprints, what is it that makes it clear that she doesn't understand them to the others?
Probably the, like, rising, like, you know, I'm thinking Firebender runs hot. Fire is very much integral in who she is as a person. I'm thinking the rising, like, blush on her face and, like, the, like, wide eyes. Just straight up, like, that llama on TikTok with Michael's, like, there's nothing behind those eyes. Just nothing going on.
Oh, I have a skill, my ability about being a guardian is called the Protector's Burden. You take it upon yourself to protect the people around you in general, but you have someone in particular, which is Amara. Mm-hmm. When they mark a condition in front of you, I will mark fatigue or a condition. Your ward can always call on you to live up to your principle without shifting their balance away from center, and they take a plus one to do so.
So if you want to take this guilt or fatigue on behalf of Amara, what happens in this moment?
I think with Hiyori's own insecurities right now, he's kind of like looking to others like for backup, because usually he has his elders that are there and able to guide him through, but his elders aren't here right now. And as he looks over to Jahl and then looks over to Amara and like immediately recognizes that feeling of guilt, because he's felt guilty before. And I think he'll go, Amara,
mm-hmm.
What's going on in your head right now?
Honestly, nothing. Just empty up there.
Okay.
I don't remember anything I ever learned. I don't think I paid attention in these lessons very much. This isn't exactly the job that I was supposed to ever do, so... And I kind of thought that architecture was a little boring, which in hindsight I really regret, but I don't know how these are labeled. I don't know what these mean. I don't know if this is even the right prison. It's kind of overwhelming how many of these there are.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to do with this.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the midroll. Heroes, Have you checked out the OneShot Twitch channel recently? There's more content going up all the time. In fact, the crew from the Mystery County Monster Hunters Club just did their first stream about, what, a week and a half ago, and you can definitely still catch the VOD. And it's possible that you're going to see my lovely face up there in the not-too-distant future. You can head over to twitch.tv/oneshotrpg and check out what it is that we do. Also, if you are enjoying this show, you can do all kinds of things to support us. You can head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast, and you can pledge there. Little as $2 a month will get you shoutouts. For $5 a month, you get access to the secret archive. And for $10 a month, you can send letters to be read by the crew of the Uhuru over on the campaign podcast. Also, you can leave us reviews. Every podcast asks you to do this, and every podcast needs it. So I'm not just going to ask you to go to your favorite podcast provider and leave us a review. No, I'm going to ask you to leave us a review and leave a review for another one of your favorite podcasts. Doesn't even have to be on the OneShot Network. Just something else you like listening to. Let them know how well they do by leaving them a review. That almost rhymed, and now we're out of time.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Heroes, let's get back to the show.
You don't have to do anything with it. It's not... You didn't make these plans. You didn't put these people in all these prisons. That's not on you.
I know, but...
That's on your dad. So it's up to you now. Now you have knowledge. And with knowledge comes power. And you have this incredible opportunity to undo some harm that your father did.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to do it either, but I know that. And he already looks over to Jal and then back to Amara. We're going to do it together. We're going to get your aunt and we'll get you out of here too.
Okay. Okay, you're right, okay. And Amara's just gonna like look up from the blueprints for a second and then try to like kind of reset and look at them with fresh eyes.
As soon as Hiyori makes that last statement, there is the sound of a goblet hitting the ground behind you. And then Amara, you feel a whoosh. Amara and Hiyori, you, the two of you closest perhaps to the door, you feel a whoosh of hot air as flames are cast at you like a whip. Standing in the entrance of the doorway is somebody you've never seen, Amara. Jal, this is just a firebender to you. Just some kid wielding a fire whip and also ill-fitting clothing that looks like they might have been stolen from another guard. Hiyori, this is your little cousin. I went ahead and used the name generator, and it gave me Bakto, B-A-K-T-O. What does Bakto look like?
Bakto is like the complete opposite of Hiyori. Bakto is tall, lean, or at least taller, rather, and very, like, lean and lithe, and... has like these stark dark eyes and long black hair. Maybe there's like a little scar like on his like lip from like an accident that had happened when they were kids. Like, it's super identifiable to Hiyori.
I love that. The whip kind of retracts back to Bakuto, and he glares at you, Hiyori. What are you doing here, cousin?
Little cousin.
I'm not little. I'm taller than you. Look, I'm taller than you.
I'm older than you.
I'm still taller. I'm even wearing... Okay, why are we wearing the same helmet?
Who's this?
Oh, this is my little cousin.
Hey. Bakuto. You're the governor's kid, aren't... Am I in trouble? Mm-hmm. No. I didn't do it. I'm not here to steal the blueprints. And he puts his arms up.
I have a floating ice ball ready to go. Cannonball ready to go.
Just gonna wave it at Jail, just like, just calm down. And he's gonna take advantage of the situation to look, you know, as regal and blank-faced as she's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Goes, and you are here because... Did you steal that uniform?
Yeah. I stole it a couple of months ago. But it really didn't fit, so I thought maybe if I waited a few more months, I would fit it a little better. And it kind of worked. I don't think I answered the question. I am sorry, Your Graciousness. Please forgive this citizen of the Fire Nation.
Well, that was convincing. Why are you in my house?
Honestly, the leader of our rebel group was captured recently, so we have to go find Lady Zed.
Lady who?
Lady Zed?
Your aunt?
Oh. Lady Zed is your aunt? No. Your aunt is Governor Zoe's sister.
And what letter does Zoe start with?
Oh my gosh! I never put that together.
So you want to break into the prison?
Well, yeah. I mean... All of the rebels have been scouring the prisons in the Fire Nation to figure out which one Lady Zed is at, and...
You know, you have no self-preservation instincts whatsoever.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, I just don't know. I panic in situations.
You are, I think, the luckiest person alive. Because we're also breaking into the prison for her.
To rescue her aunt.
And Bakuto takes a good look at the three of you finally. So, there's an earthbender who was previously just kind of saving kids. The kid of the governor. And who are you? And they point at Jal.
Jal of the Northern Tribe.
Okay, what if I just call you Cannonball or like Ice? Scary?
I mean...
Are any of these landing?
Ice is kind of cool. It would be kind of cool if it was like Ice Baby.
Ice Baby. All right, you got it, Ice Baby. Let me see those blueprints I've read. Whew, you have no idea how many blueprints I've read.
So unimpressed, your face.
Bakuto is able to take a look at what Hiyori and Amara weren't able to kind of fully comprehend. And Bakuto creates a little route entrance. It turns out that Lady Zoe wasn't taken to any far prison. As Amara said, there are countless in the Fire Nation. And there's also one that is not too far from here. It is underground. And according to these blueprints, it just so happens that there is a trap door in this very office that will take you to the prison.
Perfect. Amazing. We love cartoons.
Wait, why does your dad have a trapdoor to a prison?
As we're traveling. The house is really old, so it's technically not my dad who has a trapdoor to the prison so much as like my great 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 grandfather or something. I'm just gonna avoid that question.
Okay. I don't have that. That makes sense and also really doesn't make sense, but okay.
B, did you secret tunnel us?
Of course!
I love it!
Of course. It is the easiest way to get my players from point A to point B.
Yep.
So these tunnels underground, they are surrounded by earth and there are unlit sconces all the way along the wall. Amara and Bacto, I imagine, probably collaboratively light up some of the sconces to create some vision for the rest of everybody to kind of travel through. And it's clear that this section of, we're going to call this the Simmering Rock.
Love that. Copyright avoidance.
Yes. The hallway down the Simmering Rock doesn't look very well traveled. Most of the sconces have a thick layer of dust and dirt on them. But gently you do hear the distant echoes of screams and wails far, far down the hallway. Is there anything you would like to do as you approach your final destination?
What is the material of this prison?
The hallways themselves are, it's like a carved out cavern. So it's just rock bed. The sconces are made out of metal. And as the four of you travel deeper and deeper, you kind of feel the pressure of air get pressury? Oh, you feel the pressure of air. That is a complete sentence. Everything is stifling. The dust is really thick. And when you start to see the prisons that are embedded into the walls of this rock face, they are all made with bronze and iron and whatever metals might have been around.
So no bending.
I mean, there's rock.
There's rock and fire can get through metals.
Mm-hmm.
So can cold. Hot and cold work really well to break metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you freeze it and then me and your cousin blast fire at it alternatingly, we should be able to make the metal weak enough for, you know, you to punch through or kick through.
Walls cannot hold me.
You might have a move called that as well.
Yeah, I chose that.
That is perfect. As the four of you are walking, the sound of the moans and the wailing in the background and a little bit of your footsteps kind of echoing along you, Bacto elbows Hiyori on the side. So is the monastery not standing anymore? Cool. I do feel bad for sending Fire Nation soldiers there, but I had to get out.
You sent the Fire Nation?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Bacto.
Yeah, did I say I was sorry? I think I meant to write you a letter.
People died.
People died? No.
What do you think happens when the Fire Nation comes?
They capture you. That's why I'm here, is to let out Lady Zed and everybody else who's been captured. Really?
Yeah, really.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not the one that you need to apologize to. You need to go back one day.
Do you think they'll take me back?
As long as you're willing to learn.
Wait until you hear about everything that I've done. We've even collaborated with a section of waterbenders that are willing to work with us. And then Bacto kind of like angles and arches his neck a little bit to look at Jal. Hey, are you part of the resistance?
Kind of. I mean, we're the resistance, and kind of points at the three of us.
You're just kids.
Bacto, so are you.
Yeah, I mean, I turn 13 next year. Okay, you're not a kid. Why aren't we listening to you more?
Oh, I don't. This is my, my experience is mostly from books, so...
Andorzy type.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Cool.
You mentioned waterbenders.
Yeah. There's like 15 of them, but they all came from the northern. Well, one of the tribes. I didn't really ask.
Well, did you see a 17-year-old girl who has a very elaborate braids?
Okay. We got two people with braids. Got to narrow it down. Loud. Is it the loud one? Is it the one who threatens?
Yeah.
You have no idea how many times she's stolen my stuff. Okay, no respect for people's property. None at all.
That sounds like my sister.
What? That's, wow. Okay, well, she's also kind of a big deal within the rebels. And then Bacto kind of continues to share some stories about some of the successes of your sister. I think this kind of prison break is something that the rebels have been attempting for a long time, and often they have been led by that member of the Jal family. So as they're sharing some of just, like, the highlights of, like, how cool this terrifying, intricately hair-braided person, you all hear the jingling of armor and the clunk, 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 clunk steps of guards.
Showtime.
Two guards round the corner, and immediately they stop at you. Have the patrols changed? And one of them narrows their eyes. God. Oh, Captain Joko. Sir, yes, sir. Why are you in the? How can we help you?
when the guards were like coming, I feel like Hiyori kind of like from the ground up again, kind of raises, just so he's got some height filling in there. And I'm gonna use a little bit of bullshit and a little bit of a power move with badge of authority. There is a move that says you have some badge or symbol of authority from your background, but currently I have one in uniform.
Yes!
That makes you someone to be listened to, if not well-liked or entirely respected. When you give an NPC an order based on that authority and their recognition of it, roll with passion. On a hit, they do what you say. On a 7 to 9, choose one of the following.
I am hyped for that. The fact that it's even written into your character, right? And we have this situation. Oh my goodness.
That's wild. I picked it because I like wasn't super into the other ones. He was like, this might come in handy. He's from a monastery. People listen to monks.
Lo and behold, we're going to listen to you as the captain of the Fire Nation Guard in this city.
Yes, it is I, Jokyo. I have new trainees here today. I seem to have misplaced my keys. You, and he points to like one of the other guards, hand over your keys. I need to show the new recruits.
Sir, you sound awfully sick today. Should you be working?
A soldier is always working.
Go ahead and give me that roll.
Has no one noticed that the daughter of the governor is also in the party?
I almost wanted to ask if you would be willing to add a help token or a help point to Hiyori for that, because I just think your presence alone, perfect, lends a lot more credibility.
That killed my throat too. I love this. Oh gosh, I haven't rolled good all day. Please, what is this roll? This is a not a focus.
Oh no!
Oh, stop! It's so bad. It's so bad. That's a 3 and a 1, so
shut
a 5 total.
Up.
Oh,
so on a miss, the authority of your badge doesn't sway them. They do as they please, and you take a -1 forward against them.
Oh,
shut
my
up!
Goodness,
I'm gonna have to. Okay.
Oops.
Well, yeah, so it goes exactly how you imagine. You know, the guards, you shouldn't be working if you're sick, and then you impress upon them that a soldier always works. And that is when these two guards take a closer look. You know, their eyes kind of flicker over to the governor's child, and then back to their captain. And one of them looks at the other and says,
"Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's not Captain Joko." And they both pull out their spears. One pulls out their spear, one hesitates. Lady Zo, you need to get away from there.
Let me think on my feet. She's so much smarter than I am. I hate when you play a character that is smarter than you.
Can I pretend to take you hostage?
Yes.
Oh my god.
I would like to stand and fight. Which is, when you provoke an NPC opponent into attacking you, I roll with passion, and on a hit, they're coming at you specifically.
Oh my goodness.
On a 10 plus, you're ready for them, clear a condition, or become prepared. On a miss, they take advantage of a provocation to strike a blow where you least expect it. So I'm going to take my hammer and be like, drop your weapons and hand the keys over, or else the governor's own daughter gets it. And I kind of whisper, like, you know, stage whisper, work with me.
Okay. Oh! Help! Help me! I'm frightened.
Give me a trick. Roll, Jal. This is rolling with creativity.
Am I helping?
If you want to mark fatigue, you are more than welcome to help.
I'll mark
situation.
Another fatigue. It's okay. It's been a stressful day.
Yes.
Okay, so I rolled an 8 plus 1, so that's a 10.
Oh my goodness, yes. Beautiful. And it works. The guard that was at first worried at the appearance of the governor's child. What? No, you can't take... You're not supposed to take hostages. What? Traitors! 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 And they start to shout. Well, the other one jabs his spear at you.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists. The Four Cities by The Third Age, The Menace by Hill, Sweet Tooth by Dresden the Flamingo, and Tainted Darkness by Cody Martin. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online, anywhere, at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week. But don't worry, we'll be back with a finale of Avatar Legends next week.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.
As usual, we end One Shot with a call to action, and this one may not seem as important, but I think that you'll get with me there in the end. As you may have heard, Warner Brothers and Discovery merged. So Discovery bought that company, bought Warner Brothers, and HBO Max is kind of suffering because of it. In fact, there's a lot of content that's being cut. There are all kinds of cartoons that are being taken away. Seasons of Sesame Street have been pulled off the service, and the new Batgirl movie has been canceled. Now, again, this may not seem like it's terribly important. It's just media that we consume. These are multi-billion dollar companies. Why am I making this your call to action? Well, because a call to your representatives about enforcing antitrust laws could have this merger fall apart, and it could also mean wider-reaching implications for other mega billion-dollar corporations. As corporations consolidate, they very often lay off employees. There are situations like you see with Discovery and Warner where content is cut and creators are left out in the cold when it comes to things like residuals. Like, we're all creatives in this industry, and it's very, very difficult to make a living. These companies have so much money, and they could do so much to actually do good in the world, but instead they tend to just do what they need to do to line the pockets of their shareholders. So I'm going to ask you to go to 5calls.org. I'm going to ask you to find the numbers for your representatives, and I'm going to ask you to give them a call and tell them that they should call for antitrust laws to be enforced in the Discovery Warner Brothers merger, because if that merger is canceled, it will send a message to all the other big corporations out there that antitrust laws are going to be enforced and they cannot just run roughshod over every single person really that they want to. So That's the call. Thanks, heroes. If you enjoyed this show, you should check out some of the other shows in the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like A Horror Borealis. A Horror Borealis is an actual play Monster of the Week podcast set in the 1990s in the fictional town of Revenant, Alaska, just south of the nation's least visited national park and way north of everything else. A reclusive small game hunter with a magical secret, a young anarchist librarian with a passion for conspiracy theory, and a sensible park ranger with a strong local book club following find themselves pulled together by common threads woven mysteriously into their past when monsters begin plaguing their tiny community. They soon discover that the things they're fighting run much deeper and much closer to home. Tune in for a story about identity, empathy, community, mental illness, and healing, and stay for the beloved local diner.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.